Do you feel motivated, energized? And one of the great challenges in life, even though it sounds very innocuous, is boredom. Being bored, the monotony, the routine. It feeds into a lethargy that ultimately leads to a resignation, demoralization. Life is all about energy, about hope, about possibilities. And when we're bored, that's usually the breeding ground for all kinds of problems. Perhaps even more than boredom, there's being trapped, feeling I'm stuck in this life, in a rut. The more things change, the more they stay the same. So one of the greatest gifts in life is to learn how to rejuvenate yourself, how to recharge your batteries, how to access tremendous resources, potency within you. So please join me in this pre-Rosh Hashanah special program. Bored, trapped, how to rejuvenate your life. Hello everyone, Simon Jacobson here, and we will be discussing Bored, Trapped, How to Rejuvenate Your Life. How to Rejuvenate Your Life. This program is dedicated by Judith Kirk in loving memory of her brother, Al Yuni, Avram Yitzchak ben David Eliyahu, and in memory of Rick Levine, Chaim Reuven ben Hanan. One of the great challenges in life is dealing with feeling stuck, feeling that we're trapped in routines, in a rut. The more things change, the more they stay the same. It leads to resignation, demoralization, and many, many other issues. Being bored, monotony. I mean, it's a common issue. Lethargy. I remember once, not once, but many times, but once someone telling me, you know, I think I've turned into a couch potato. Expression meaning someone who's like a potato on a couch with a handheld channel changer for his television. He's busy watching, living vicariously through others. And I was like, on one hand, it was funny. On the other hand, it was so sad. And some people actually aspire to that. It creates a certain lack of expectations. Maybe as a result, we don't feel like we're failing. I mean, I can't resist that joke. Old guy sitting on a bench outside, all depressed. His friend comes over and says to him, "Why are you so depressed?" He says, "My wife is very angry at me today." "What happened?" "She's always angry at you. What?" So he says, "No, something special. This morning when she went to work, she asked me, 'And what are you going to do?' And I said, 'Nothing.' So she said, 'You said that yesterday, Irving.' And he said, 'Yes, but I wasn't finished. I wasn't finished doing nothing.'" When you really think about it, it's not only absurd, it's insane. Because all of life is about movement. Show me one area in life where there isn't movement, where there isn't pulsating energy. A human being, for sure. Your heart is beating every second. Contraction, expansion. You breathe 12 to 20 breaths a minute. Exhale, inhale. Life is movement. Even when you're asleep, you're not inanimate completely. Even when you go into the world of vegetation, things are always growing, and even mineral. Today we know everything is pulsating with subatomic particles, internal energy. Life is all about energy, and energy is all about movement. So how did it move from so much mobility, so much energy, to a static state? How did it move from a state of such mobility to a static state where we're doing nothing? And is it even real? Are we actually doing nothing? Of course we're not doing nothing. So the bottom line answer is it's easier. It's easier to just hang around, to be lazy, to be unmotivated. Is it healthier? Obviously not. Can a human being really master animal bliss? When I say animal bliss, animals are also constantly on the move. But psychologically, they're at peace with themselves. Human beings are restless. Is that a bad thing? No, it's the result of your soul. Your soul is compared to a flame. And a flame is constantly restless. It's constantly moving, constantly flickering, reaching up. You don't want to destroy that part of yourself because it's the very essence of who you are. Okay, but then we're faced with the dilemma. So how do we rejuvenate ourselves? How do we access that inner energy within us when the outer levels seem to becoming more lethargic, deadened, numbed, comfortably numbed? So let's introduce a powerful, fundamental, mystical top concept, which frankly is pure physics and makes total sense. And that is, there is no such thing as a dead reality. All matter is really energy. E equals mc squared. It's just a different form of energy. So there's energy that's moving about, and we see its energy, we see its movement, we see its power, and there's energy that perhaps is dormant or stable and not moving. You take a cup of water, liquid. Okay, liquid we know is mobile, liquid is moves about, unless it's contained by some container. You freeze the water, the liquid, it turns into ice. Ice is a solid, no movement, at least to the naked eye. You heat the water, it turns into gas, and gas is even more mobile than liquid. All the same without any change of ingredients. You didn't mix anything, it's just a matter of heating or cooling. So in essence, when you really look at it, it's to the naked eye and to our limited experiences with our sensory tools that we may think things are quiet. You walk into a room and there's no one there. It's quiet, but it's never quiet. Beneath the surface, and for that you may need other tools, it's pulsating, constantly pulsating energy. The way the mystics put it, and I'm quoting now both the writings and teachings of the Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi in Tanya, in the second section, he says, everything is pulsating energy perpetually. Existence is being renewed all the time. What we call renewable energy. But that is energy generated by humans from different energy sources, whether it's fossil fuels or it's electricity. But renewable energy, existence itself, is a constant breath. You can call it a cosmic breath, a divine breath. As a matter of fact, the word soul in Hebrew, neshama, can also be pronounced neshima, breath. As the Bible tells us, God breathed the breath of life into that inanimate piece of clay of earth, and man emerged. So the very soul is breath. And existence is a constant, renewable, perpetual energy that is constantly renewing existence. However, it gets encased And you can say even in encased, in immersed, submerged, maybe the best word, in an outer shell, a tough shell. And that shell creates the appearance and the illusion of inanimate, of deadness, of numbness, of... But we should not be deceived. So it's really about looking at the world in a new way. Don't think of the world as being a boring, monotonous routine. Think of the world as brimming with tremendous energy. Just when it comes to the surface level, you may not see it. You know, you could look at a person, and that person may seem very quiet, silent, not reacting, but within them can be brewing who knows what. Tremendous joy, tremendous pain, tremendous anger. You see a volcano erupt, and you realize, one second, it didn't just erupt out of nowhere. Pressures have been building up, we just don't see it. The core of the earth, the core of the earth is hotter than sunlight coming out of the sun. And it's only a few thousand miles deep. So something about the crust of the earth and the layers that conceal all that powerful energy. Today we know with atomic energy that through nuclear fusion or fission, what kind of energy can we release from one follicle of hair, from one fiber, from one piece of dust? So it gives us a whole new look at existence and especially at ourselves. So to make a statement, hey, nothing's changed, everything seems to be the same, I don't have any expectations, is actually not only not true, it's undermining the very essence of who you are. So comes Rosh Hashanah. What do you think ultimately Rosh Hashanah? It's renewal. That time is like a cycle, like a spiral. And it's like an orbit. And every year when it returns to that point, everything is renewed. So, yes, I said it's renewed every second. But then there are milestones, or there are watershed moments. There are times when you like renew a contract. So all of existence is renewed, and the words, the poetic words, again, of the mystics, is right before the new year. And we know the moon has waned to the point you don't see the moon. So right at that point, all of existence goes into a comatose state, to like a sleep, hibernation, anxiously anticipating the new charge, the new electricity that will run into it as the new year enters. So in other words, there's a new energy entering into existence that's unprecedented. So why don't we see it? Why don't we feel it? Because you need to make yourself new. You need to be ready for it. If you're waiting for something, for a miracle, you're waiting for something, hope, and then suddenly someone knocks on your door, a new person, they say, can I join you for a meal? I'd like to speak with you. And you say, I don't have time. I'm busy. Because it doesn't fit into your regular routine. So what are you doing? You're allowing your past, your routines, your habits, your monotony, that, yes, monotony, the that weighs us so down, to control your future. Here you have a breath of fresh air, a new person. You have to open the window. So you have to renew yourself to be able to receive new energy. If I wanted to give you a gift and your pockets are filled, or you don't have time because you're so busy and so overwhelmed and inundated by everything that's going on, which is the basic rule, you want change, you need to be open to change. More than that, you need to initiate change, because if nothing changes, as they say, nothing changes. If you think what you thought, and you say what you said, and you do what you did, what will you have? What you had. It's a mathematical certainty. So we have to look at ourselves. You want rejuvenation and newness? Start creating it from within. And that allows you Not that you're creating the new energy. You're tapping into it. If you want to dig and reach deeper resources in the earth, you need to work. You need to drill. You need to go beneath the surface and access that energy. It's essentially what all of technology does. And the same is on a personal level. So it really begins by you putting yourself in a mindset, in a heart set, in a soul set, psychologically. Yes, I want something new. I want freshness. So how do we do that? And when we do that, the energy will come and emerge on its own. It's like watering a garden. Once the seeds are planted and the earth has the power to make things grow, you water it, you nurture it, and then things emerge. The same is with us. So we play a tremendous role. You play a tremendous role in your own life and your own rejuvenation. Yes, we'd like to believe that someone else is going to come and energize us, that will come from outside. Sometimes an inspiration will come from another. But remember, you want it to be sustainable. You want it to be perpetual. And for that, you need to have a new attitude. An old attitude of resignation is not going to allow into your life new opportunities. You're blocking it. You could become your own worst enemy. So let's talk about how do you create, initiate renewal, rejuvenation from within. First thing, get out of your comfort zone. Comfort zones are good for perpetuating and maintaining the past. That's what a comfort zone is. Yes, so it's going to be uncomfortable. Why? Because it's shaking up. It's shifting your present state. But that's precisely its power. You have toxic air in your home. Open a window. That's going out of your comfort zone. Now, you may be used to the toxic air. You may even be addicted to it, dependent on it. Some people, if there's no crisis, they create one because they thrive on crisis. They thrive on uncertainty. They thrive on toxicity. Open a window. Make a new friend. Go to a new class. Initiate something. Begin writing an email every day to your list of contacts. A short email. Share a beautiful thought. Forward something. Doesn't take much. But these are shifts. I'm talking about here a major shift. It's a little shift, but what it does is it shakes things up. You ever see when something gets really trapped or stuck, what do you want to do? You shake it up. And same thing psychologically and emotionally. You need to shake things up. So find something that you haven't done before. You're a kind person, a considerate person, a giving person. You give charity, give a little more. Read a new book. I said join a new class. Initiate a new class. And it doesn't have to be always yourself. Do it with a partner. Do it with another. Start a book club once a month with your friends. Newness is a response to your newness. And this is something we all can do. Now you'll say, well, I'm so lethargic, I'm so stuck, I can't even get out of my comfort zone. If it's a point of clinical depression or a point where you really are so trapped that you feel you really can't do anything, so ask a friend, ask a relative, ask a spouse, ask a child, I need help. You put it in the right words. But sometimes we need that. Sometimes you tell your friend, listen, you may think I'm not in the mood, but please call me and insist. Take me to the party. Take me to the synagogue. Take me to the prayer service. Doesn't have to be a religious experience. It could be anything. So that's number one, getting out of your comfort zone. Number two is understanding the forces that are within you. Study about your soul. Read the first chapter in Toward a Meaningful Life. It talks all about body and soul and the soul being a flame, a flickering flame. Get to know yourself. Just like when we study science, you get to know that there's all kinds of forces and heat and energy lying within. Get to know about yourself. You'll say, well, that's just a cognitive experience. It's cognitive, but the more you get to know yourself, the more you become drawn to it and they become more familiar and you start realizing, I have all that energy.
Do you think lethargy doesn't require energy? Do you think numbness and denial and just doing nothing doesn't require energy? It's just inverted energy. Instead of it being expressed outward, it's being expressed, it's like imploding. It's all energy. Grief is energy. Pain is energy. Anger is energy. These are fires. But you want the fires not to be consuming you and not to destroying you and imploding. You want them to be expressed and channeled and harnessed toward positive ends. So get to know your energy. And then in turn, what happens, step three, you start harnessing that energy. And do it in steps that you can, that are achievable, that are measurable. No cold turkey. You don't have to bite off more than you can chew. Usually backfires. It's step by step. Number four. So we spoke about three things so far. Getting out of your comfort zone. Get to know your energy. Harness that energy. Number four. Create new daily routines. Most of us, we brush our teeth every morning. We don't even think about it. It's automatic. There's a whole bunch of macros or algorithms that just automatically your mind is set to do. Introduce some new routines. So in addition to getting out of your comfort zone, for example, one of my favorites is as soon as you wake up in the morning, accustom yourself, before anything else, to say or to think or meditate on that one-line prayer, "Thank you for returning my soul to me. My soul is pure. It's traveled from a pure, innocent place into a perhaps more corrupt and darker world. But my soul essentially is pure. Thank you for returning my soul to me. Thank you for giving me an indispensable mission. Thank you for renewing my contract yet another day." Do that every morning with focus, not lip service. So you've introduced another routine, but it's a routine that that brings into your life new energy, freshness. It's a new day. It's a new mission or a new part of the mission. And the same thing before you go to sleep. Instead of going to sleep with a newspaper on your face or with the television on or checking your texts, why don't you read something spiritual? Why don't you listen to a song? Prepare your soul for a peaceful sleep. So when you punctuate your day, the morning with this meditation, "Thank you for returning my soul," and the evening before you go to sleep, so those sleep hours are also now somewhat protected from the raging, hostile, negative forces that often assault us throughout the day. But it also sets the tone for the new day. So new routines. And add some others as well. Maybe lunchtime, take a few minutes to read something that is very inspiring. Take time to volunteer for a good cause. Take a walk with a child that has a need, special needs. There's so many things that we can do. It may initially require a certain exertion or effort because it's, as I said, you're getting out of your comfort zone. But the reward that you will reap for it, the dividends, will far, far outweigh your investment. No question. So here are just some, and there are many, many more things we can be doing, just some ideas of how to create rejuvenation in your life. And there's really no excuse not to do it. The only excuse would be, "Hey, I'm lazy," or "I'm not used to it. I have my habits." But that's up to you. The next step is yours. This, my friends, is the best way to enter into a new year with a new attitude, with a new approach. And the truth is, it's not new because it's all brimming within you. The classic words of Michelangelo, when he was asked, "How do you sculpt those beautiful angels in the marble?" He said, "I saw the angels trapped in the marble, and I carved and carved and set them free." My friends, it's time to carve, to sculpt, to remove the excess. We're trapped in marble and concrete and other materials and other substances that create the illusion of being stuck and trapped. No, but they're angels waiting to be released. Their power that's waiting to be unleashed. There's your potential that's waiting to be harnessed to transform you and the world around you. And you have so many unique elements to you. Which leads me to the, for now, the last suggestion. Find what you're good at, what you're unique at. It could be a hobby, it can be arts, music, something personal. And build on it. Use it. Because then you'll be invested because it's something that you uniquely are bringing to the table. So you can say, here's my unique contribution. I know I said that would be the last suggestion, but I want to add one more. Host an event once a month in your home. Bring friends. Have conversations. Read something. Have different people share an inspiration. These are all examples for what I've said earlier, how to create change. Initiate change and change will come automatically. Everyone be blessed with a truly new year, a rejuvenated year, with new, unprecedented energy, and especially with an attitude that you can tap into that energy and channel it into creating newness in every part of your life, all in good health and tremendous abundance beyond your wildest expectations, materially and spiritually. And may we experience personal and global redemption. When the energy within all of existence will surface and the physical world will be seen for what it is, a vehicle, a channel for that powerful, unifying energy. Shana Tova, blessed year. And please be in touch. I want to give everyone this end of the year my blessings. And let you know that please, I love to hear from you. Send your thoughts, your comments, your feedback. And please share with others. Please subscribe to our growing YouTube channel. MeaningfulLife.com is our website. Shana Tova. Be blessed. I look forward to continue our meaningful journey together.